work hard. Here we go.
Work, 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 work.
Work hard, play hard. That could be a remix.
With both songs.
Yeah, think about how they do it all the time when they remix country and rap.
Yeah.
Work hard, play hard.
Work, 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 work.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. All right. All right, all right, all right. I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Also, I just realized that our podcast, I didn't just realize, but our podcast is Teachers Talk Crime, and my jingle always says Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
And I'm just going to keep it because it's a funky, fresh jingle.
Yes, and it's a very good memory on how those jingles got made up.
You know, period.
All the jingles and voicemails at 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I definitely did send those to you in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it changes every time.
It does.
I love it.
I mean, the past couple of episodes we've been... But,
But no, we did crime, crime, crime.
Oh, yes, we did do crime. We did do that. Crime.
Yeah, we did that one. So that was a fun one.
That was pretty decent. One.
Yeah.
I should bring that drone back. Maybe next episode.
Exactly.
Guys, we're together again.
In Bama.
We are in Alabama. I literally just got off the flight.
She did. And I scared her at the airport. I got her.
I literally was shocked for like 2 seconds because I had no idea. Because she comes up to me and goes, oh my God, are you Ashley from Teachers Who Talk Crime? And I was like,
can I have your autograph?
And I was like, huh?
Huh? Who are you?
And then I was like, oh, it's Brooke.
Yeah. That'll be the day. The day we get recognized.
We will know we made it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
Recognize us. This is episode 7.
Numero uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete.
There you go. Y, a, san, su, wu, jo, ba, ba.
Ba. That's in...
Mandarin.
Oh, I was about to say Korean. I don't know why I thought that. Nope. Yes. It's been a long day, so...
It has. We've worked.
We were work.
Work hard.
If this is any inclination to what this episode is going to be.
I think it's great.
It's going to be fun.
Ashley's bringing us the crime today, but...
It is me. But...
We got to talk socials.
We do. So you should follow us on the Grammy at Teachers Talk Crime.
And on our TikToks. Mine is southern.math.teacher.
And mine is Branny. With 3 Y's and an underscore.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't you do it. It's very important.
Importiento.
Importiento.
I don't know.
Importante.
I'm
going to have to teach you some things, girl.
I have idea.
To teach you some things.
It's just, yeah. And we want to say before we start, thanks for an awesome launch. We launched March 7th.
Yeah.
That is a great day for me. I didn't even realize that was mine and James' official 1 year.
Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't. I did not do it on purpose. But also, it took him 6 months to ask me to be his girlfriend. So, like, it's like the official date. But, yeah. I knew when I met him.
They were together before dating.
Yeah. But it was a good day. We went, like, to dinner. And I was like, we're celebrating 2 things.
Yes. And first of all, she didn't even tell me it was her anniversary. So she's out munching on dinner. And I'm texting her about the podcast. And she was just like, oh, I'm going to hit you back. We're at dinner for our anniversary. And I was like, oh, go ahead, girl.
Yeah. And then my phone died. And he was like, thank God. So I could actually talk to you.
Sorry, Jamesy Boo.
I'm like, it's okay. Yes. So thank you for an awesome launch. It just surpassed.
We did really well our first week.
Like, I was shocked.
Like, over 800 downloads.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we're just super grateful.
We are.
Really, really grateful.
Thank you for rocking out with us while we, you know, do this thing.
We have one review that, like, we want to mention.
Oh, yes.
Oh, because it was just a good one. Like, she's so sweet.
Yes. And say her name, too.
The Alisa 3, and she gave us 5 stars, and the title is Obsessed With You Too.
Yes, Obsessed With You Too, Elise.
I know. As a former podcaster and registered behavior therapist working with kids on the autism spectrum in an elementary school in California, who is also addicted to true crime and passionate about making my world a safe space to talk about inclusion and normalizing mental health early so that kids can grow up to manage their own stress and challenges. I was so incredibly happy to find your podcast. I am also devastated that there is not more content because I need more. We got you, Elise. We coming.
We coming, girl.
I literally cannot wait for more episode. This is what the world needs. The two of you are amazing and your chemistry is sublime. You know what you know as as teachers and true crime, that is a lot. How lucky are you? How lucky are your students? Well, depends on if you ask them.
I mean, I would like to think that my...
Let's
just hope.
This weekend. The fact that you lifted up those who work in mental health and work as supporting roles in schools made me cheer out loud. The angle of delving into where and how things went wrong for a teenage girl who participated in the murder of her mother was brilliant. The fact you did it with sensitivity and compassion for the victim and shed some light on adolescent angst and made some truly insightful speculations was, in my opinion, groundbreaking, and I am a true fan.
Yes, Elise. So, Elise, you get a gold star because you are our star student. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, Elise, you're so great. Go, Elise, girl. Yeah. Go, Elise, girl. Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for that review. Like, we both screenshot it and sent it to each other within, like, an hour apart.
Because we literally stalk Apple Podcasts and Spotify to see our reviews.
We do. So, thank you so much.
So with that being said, if you like us, give us a 5-star review and, you know, read us a little blurb and maybe you can be our star student for our next episode.
Gold star.
Gold star for you.
Yeah. I'm ready to hear this crime.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, today is my episode and we just gonna do it.
So we are. Same thing,
Brooke.
Ready? Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Yes, it is.
Pardon the interruptions. Teachers Talk Crime would like to disclose that some of the things discussed on this podcast are their opinions. Ashley and Brooke are not pointing the blame on anyone. They are just two teachers with a microphone. Thank you. And away we go!
Guys, so today I am bringing you the case of Megan Newton, okay? This is a pretty recent crime. It happened in 2020, so there's not a whole lot of super detailed information in this crime like the ones that I've done in the past, but I will give you as much information as I possibly can.
Height of the pandemic crime.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to begin our case on Friday, April 19th, 2020, in Stoke-on-Trent, England. And this is my second England case. So there's that.
We have a lot of cases that are outside the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little scared to go visit. Not gonna front.
And also April, that's a month after the U.S. shut down from the pandemic.
Yeah. And they shut down before us.
I think they shut down before us. I'm pretty sure they did.
Were all those videos in England?
No.
And they were showing the people partying?
Italy.
Ah, okay. That's what I was confused about.
And they were from their balconies playing music? Yeah.
Literally having raves on their balconies.
Playing flutes and instruments on their balconies? Like, yeah.
Just making entertainment. Mm-hmm. That was a good time.
Yeah.
And now we're 3 years in. Just like, get us out of this.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
So, 18-year-old Megan Newton is out on the town with some of her friends. You know, it's Friday, the last day of the work week, and it is time to partay.
I love a good Friday night.
I do. I love it. Oh, it's like the highlight of my week.
Even though you've worked all day and you're exhausted and you make yourself go out, those are the best nights.
Oh, yeah. Because you're like, oh, thank goodness I just didn't stay at home in my jams.
Even though I wanted to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Megan was the definition of a go-getter. She was a youth football coach because she loved football and children. She was attending Newcastle College in hopes of becoming a sports therapist or a physiotherapist.
And we looked that up.
Yes, a physiotherapist is like the equivalent to a physical therapist. So they handle injuries that deal with movement.
Right. And football in England is soccer.
Yes, the soccer.
We call it soccer.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you said football, I'm like, oh, like touchdown. No.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. More like go. Like one of those.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Crackle wild. Yes. And she also had three part-time jobs at the time. And one of which was at a fish and chip shop that she had just finished a shift at before she went out with her friends that night. So needless to say, this night out was very well deserved for her.
Three jobs?
Three.
Like, I consider our podcast like a second job at this point, but like a fun job.
Yeah.
But it still consumed a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. I would not have time for another one.
Mm-mm. And she had three, plus she had the job as a coach.
And classes.
Yeah. Ooh. Mm-hmm. She was doing it. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
So she went to a club, not a club, apologies, because we're in England, a pub called Commercial Inn. And then she headed to a nightclub called Kiln Club. So Megan is having a great time out with her friends today. According to Adrian Keeling of the QC, QC stands for Queen's Council, she was described as being in a really good mood that night, and she was showing off her brand new tattoo to her friends.
Get it.
Yes, girl, living life. So at some point during her night out at the Kiln Club, she runs into an old friend, 19-year-old Joseph Trevor.
Okay.
Now, none of my sources mentioned the extent of their friendship. So I'm not sure if they just said friends, but they were more of acquaintances or what was
it? Just knew each other.
Yeah, they knew each other, but we don't know how well they knew each other.
Kind of like a, hey, how are you?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they see each other, and of course, it's just like a typical old friend conversation. Oh my gosh, how are you? How's your mom? Like, things like that.
And you're also in a club or outside of a club or around a club, so you're not going to get to have a whole lot of conversation. Because you're hearing zoom, 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 zoom.
Yeah. Yes. So eventually, after their probably short-lived conversation because of the
exactly.
They go their separate ways and link back up with their friends that they came out with. So then that night, later, it was time to go. So Megan is outside waiting for a taxi to go to her flat. And she runs into Joseph again.
Okay.
So I will disclose that there is some type of discrepancy of when they actually first saw each other that night. Some sources say that it was in the nightclub, and some sources say that the first time they saw each other was waiting for that taxi.
But they, at this vicinity, saw each other.
Yes, they met each other at some point that evening. So Joseph was high on ketamine, and it seemed like he was high on cocaine as well, and he was also drunk.
And then we were a little iffy about what ketamine was.
Yes.
And so we looked it up for you, and it is a tranquilizer for anesthesia for either veterinarians or practitioners, but people often use it illegally to get high.
But, like, you said it's used to, like, take, like, put animals to sleep?
Like horses. Like just, horse.
But just to sleep.
Yeah.
So then what happens if you take that as a human? It don't make you go to sleep?
Yeah, I was telling you about that guy that was walking in traffic, and he was on ketamine, and he would just, like, slump over and then pop right back up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure people, I hope people are not doing the same dose as a horse, but, like,
oh gosh, yeah.
Even a third of a horse's dose would still put a human out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. So I guess the cocaine balanced it out because this would put you to sleep, and then cocaine would put you as an upper.
Oh, I didn't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, all
and
right.
One of the side effects is hallucinogenic. Like, psychosis.
So eyewitnesses said that he looked fine, but he was acting like a typical young adult drunk person. He was loud and he was annoying.
Oh, gotta love a good drunk.
Oh, I remember the days back in college when I was one of those annoying young drunks.
I live in a college town, and I listen to conversations on, like, Friday and Saturday nights when me and James are out to dinner of, like, sorority girls and their conversations. And I'm like, the fact that I used to be.
I was them.
Yeah. And was I that annoying?
Like, yikes. Maturity has really humbled me.
Yes.
So one even said that he was seen slumped over a friend during the night. So I guess that's just where the part where you said, like, falling asleep and then possibly, like, waking up and being like, let's rally. Yep. You know what I mean? So Megan was a listening ear as he started to tell her that he was afraid to go home to his parents' house in the current state that he was in. And one of my sources said that the CCTV footage showed Megan lending Joseph her phone so she could arrange for a friend to pick him up. So there's no explanation to where his phone was at this time, but I imagine
it was dead.
It was dead because I know I've went out late before and didn't, you know,
and name somebody in 2020 that doesn't have their phone on them, even if it's dead.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I guess he couldn't get in touch with his friend, and he was still freaking out about going home so plastered.
Why is he scared of his parents?
Because they are retired police officers.
Oh, gosh.
And I am a daughter of a retired police officer. So I get it.
Like, I get that life.
I get it. I love my dad to pieces, but he be irking.
So structured.
He be irking. Like, granted, I wasn't nearly as bad as Joseph in my younger years. But, like, even in my adult life, like, I will come home and visit and I'll link up with friends and we'll have a wine night. And he'll be like, yo, he's getting drunk. Da 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 da. And I'm like, I'm not, though.
I'm also 30 and I'm a mother.
I'm a mother. No drama.
So very structured if you're a police kid.
Yes.
But it's kind of like being a teacher's kid.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of expectations
there. I mean,
there.
I already know Skylar and Ari are going to be like, oh, do you have to be a teacher?
Exactly.
And, yes, I do. So, oh, where was I? I forgot. Where? Oh, anyway. So because Megan is this amazing human being that she is, she goes, look, Joseph, no need to panic. Come back with me to my flat. Sober up. And then go home so you don't have to be so worried about your parents.
Like, no biggie.
Yeah, no biggie. So I'm thinking if she did this, she must have known him well enough to allow him to come to her place.
So not like a stranger.
Yeah.
But maybe not a BFF, but an acquaintance that you would have trusted enough.
If someone I knew in high school, like I knew of them and they were doing this to me, I would be like, well, I could get you a taxi to your parents' house, but you're not staying at my house. You know what I mean?
You ain't knowing my address.
Yeah. Mm-mm. People crazy.
Yep.
Yep. So this was just the type of person who Megan was. She wanted to do a kind act for an old friend. So around 3:45 a.m. on April 20th, they headed to Megan's flat in a taxi. And they arrived there 15 minutes later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Normal car ride.
Yeah, typical. So CCTV footage showed the two entering her flat. And I watched this video. And they looked like happy people. They were smiling at each other on the way in. Megan even does this cute little, you know when you're like trying to get ahead of somebody and you like do a little trot in front of them. So you're like, she's trying to get to the door and unlock it and gets there. And he's like standing behind her and there, it looks fine.
Like me running before you last night trying to get in the house to Febreze it because I have dogs.
Exactly. It looked exactly like that. So another source says that Joseph got a text from his dad and he responded letting him know that he was spending the night at a male friend's house. So I guess when he first got in there, he charged his phone because remember, he used Megan's phone to call a friend.
That's got to be what happened. It had to have died.
Yeah, there was no really explanation as to that part, so I wasn't really sure.
That's the only thing that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You didn't magically find your phone in your pocket when you got there.
Yeah, because I know even me, I would have been like, wait, didn't you, like, your phone was dead and now you're getting text messages kind of thing?
Why did you need mine?
Yeah, so I think that he charged it when he got there and waited for it to get juiced. So 90 minutes later, the same CCTV footage that captured them going in captures Joseph leaving Megan's flat. And I don't know how intoxicated he was, but I don't think 90 minutes is enough time.
No.
To sober up.
No. I don't
think that's enough.
Even a cat nap's not going to sober you up.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
And if you were that messed up, you ain't waking up from a cat nap until the next morning.
That would have been whatever's longer than a cat nap. So the exit to the complex was locked. And I guess it's one of those that you need a key fob to leave. Mm-hmm. So he goes back in and then comes out with her keys. And this immediate was, to me, was like, well, if you're trying to leave and it's locked and you go back in, I would expect for her to come out with him.
Or you prop the door open and you return her keys.
Yeah, but he didn't do that. So then footage showed him tossing her keys in the parking lot after getting outside.
Just on the ground.
Just whoop.
Oh, okay. Which is red flag.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then another camera captured him with something on his hands. And that something was blood.
Oh, gosh. These are good cameras.
Yeah.
Thank God for them.
Seriously.
I don't think we have them in the U.S.
I don't think we do.
Because I hear them in a lot of my Canada cases that I do. And a lot of the England cases have the CCTV.
Like, I feel like if we had that, you know, a lot of things would be
caught.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But get on that, United States of America.
Yeah.
So I bet you all are trying to put this together. And I'm sure you were asking the million-dollar question, where is Megan? So inside of her flat, on her bed, laid a naked and lifeless Megan. She had been raped, strangled, and stabbed in the back a total of 8 times. Whoa. Yeah. Like, this woman was murdered in exchange for her act of kindness.
For being nice to you. For what reason? And to point out the CCTV stat, the U.S. has 15.28 CCTV cameras for every 100 individuals. So the U.S. does that. Does have that. China has 14.36 for every 100, and the United Kingdom has 7.5. So we do have it.
We do, but how come they're not mentioned in cases more?
Wonder if that's a law that we have that it can't be. I don't know.
We gotta look that up.
But anyways, Megan did not deserve that for her kindness. That just makes me, that makes you not want to be kind to anyone ever.
And okay. Especially in today's, I mean, this is recent.
Yeah.
So, no.
There's no more of that giving people the shirt off your back.
No. Like, go to the, I'll tell you where you could go to the store to get the shirt, but you're not going to get my shirt.
Yeah. I'll give you directions.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
And that was overkill.
Yeah. So after the murder, Joseph went to a bridge over the A500 in Stoke. And on this bridge, he was seen sitting like with his legs over the side, like dangling as if he was going to jump. So someone passing by saw him and immediately called the police.
As they should.
Yes. So the police detained him and he was seen by a mental health professional. And apparently they deemed him as okay to be released to his father and said that he did not need to be hospitalized.
So I think this is my like biggest question. And if anybody knows the answer to this, if this is what your profession is, but like what questions are asked during those, not interrogations, but I guess evaluations, to deem someone either mentally unstable in the moment or clear to go home.
Yeah.
Like, what do you ask? Do you ask cognitive questions? Do you ask, like, critical thinking questions? Do you just ask simple, like, what's your name? What's your home address? Who are you?
Yeah. And is it, like, a checklist that if you get this many checks, like, then you have to be hospitalized? Or is it just, like, as a, all right, these are their responses, so I feel like they are okay.
Or is it like, you know, field sobriety test?
Mm.
Like, I don't know. That I would love to know what takes place to determine that.
Yeah, definitely. So if anyone knows, again, let us know because we want to know.
Yeah.
So mind you, at this point, he hasn't said anything about what he's done because obviously he's the one who's done it.
No one's looking at the blood thinking, what's this?
Well, funny you say that, because back at Megan's flat, her neighbors discovered her bloody keys in the parking lot. I'm not sure how they determined that they were hers, but they knew that they were hers, and this raised concerns for them, so they used those keys to enter her flat, and they stumbled upon the horrific scene.
Good for them, though. Like, yeah. I mean, like, to be that concerned and...
And to be that proactive.
That proactive, and not do the bystander effect and think, oh, that's somebody else's problem, to actually be like, no, like, this, something's weird about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not noted exactly when, but sometime after Joseph heard that her body was found, he told his family, look, I did a bad thing.
You did a horrible thing.
You did a unthinkable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was later arrested by the Staffordshire Police. And then this is where my sources get iffy, because they have a bunch of different stories as to what Joseph said when he was being interrogated. One of the sources says that he told police that he woke up to Megan having sex with him.
Okay.
All right.
So you passed out in her bed and you woke up with her on top of you. All right.
And then I do know one of my sources said that when they left that night, there was no inclination that she was like physically attracted to him. Like there was
She's just being nice.
Yeah. There was no like sexual, you know.
We're going home to bang.
Yeah. There was none of that. So I find that very unlikely.
Okay.
So then another source said that he admitted to being with her, but said he did not sexually assault or murder her. And then my final source said he admitted to having sexual, consensual sex with her.
So he's admitting I'm the last person that was with her, but yes. I didn't do what you think that I
exactly.
did. Even though I was the last person with her.
And everybody saw it. So regardless of which of this is actually true, we do know that, like you said, he's admitting to seeing her, but not to doing anything crime-related.
Okay.
And he stuck to his story. He did. Up until what was supposed to be the first day of his trial. There was an undeniable amount of evidence against Joseph. Yeah. There was all that footage. There were accounts from people who saw them together waiting for a taxi. I know one of my sources said that they actually took a taxi. It was Megan, it was Joseph, and then it was her friend, and the friend got dropped off first. But only one of my sources said that, so I don't know how true that was.
Definitely could have happened. Also, you can track those taxis. The taxi driver could have been a witness for all we know.
True, and it's 2020, so who knows if it's a taxi or an Uber. Right. So there might be like digital evidence showing like you got in a ride and you had this many passengers.
Exactly. And DNA on the keys?
Yes, there had to be DNA. I mean, he had DNA on him. I don't know if he washed it off before he was detained, but that CCTV footage showed him with blood on his hands. So he had no choice but to plead guilty at that point. And he pleaded guilty for murder and two counts of rape. And he was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 21 years and 65 days before being considered for parole.
I don't understand the 65 days.
Yeah, like,
can we round it?
Yeah.
22 years?
Yeah, might as well. Like, I don't. And if anyone knows that too, why?
Significance of the days.
That's very weird. I don't like it. Yeah.
And he's how old?
He is 19.
So 19 and 20 years. He's in his 29, 39, 42, 40-ish, 41.
I mean, again, you are the Southern math teacher.
Right. But he's 40s. Before he can be eligible of parole.
I mean, at this point, it's not a, like, the eligibility.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah. That's not, like, a guarantee. So just because you're able to be paroled doesn't mean anyone's
granted. They have to approve that. Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, maybe if he's rehabilitated by then, possibly. So I don't know.
That's just when you can apply.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let's take it back to what contributed to this ridiculously unnecessary crime.
Because there's no motive as of right now.
This is like just an act of criminal. Yeah. But when you find out the motive, you're going to be like, are you joking?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the only personal information that I could find about Joseph was that he had a good character and he came from a decent, loving, and all around supportive family.
Yeah. You have both your parents at home.
Mm-hmm.
They both had stable jobs with a stable income.
Mm-hmm.
They're still together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people would kill to have that home life.
Yeah. So there was no trauma from that. However, someone fumbled the bag in this case. And they fumbled it before Megan was even murdered.
Oh, God.
You see, Joseph was arrested just hours before committing this murder.
So wasn't even supposed to be at the club.
Wasn't even supposed to be out.
Why did he? If you're arrested and you are detained, you're staying in there a minimum of 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. So there's no explanation as to why police were contacted, but when they got there, apparently he hid a bag of white powder in his pants.
He got that cocaine.
Or something. Or is ketamine, is that white too?
Uh-uh.
No?
It's clear, I think.
It's clear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't I don't do ketamine.
I don't dabble. But,
so he got arrested on a drug charge.
Yes.
Okay.
And before the police picked him up, he was drinking and he was high on ketamine. And they also said he could have been on cocaine also. So that's the same kind of trio that he was on.
But the drinking age in England is 18.
Yes.
So he's legally allowed to drink, but drugs are illegal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they took him down to the station and they immediately confiscated the drugs that he had, but then released him shortly after and then told him to come back at a later date.
What?
Yeah.
If I told a student, hey, you have detention, but just come whenever you want. You know what? They won't come.
No, they won't. And I'm not really sure why they couldn't hold him. Because like you said, I feel like there's a 24-hour hold. But again, this is just my opinion. It's what I feel. I definitely feel like because his parents were retired police officers, that played along in something to this.
Absolutely, it did. Do we know how high up they were?
Mm-mm. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter.
One phone call and that he's calling the chief and they're like, hey, working something out.
And then if you're a retired police, you have to stay on the force for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So they were obviously in it long enough to be able to retire. So they could have, they had those connections. Yeah, exactly.
So they picked up the phone. They're like, hey, Bob. And that's not his dad's name. I'm making that up. Hey, Bob, we've got Joseph down here. We found some drugs on him. How would you like for us to handle this?
I mean, I'm not even sure if it went that far because I feel like if my child, if they contacted me about my child. Just like, hey, we got your kid down here. You wouldn't have even been able to go out later. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa, I have an idea. What if, okay, so they did call. He got released.
Uh-huh.
Right? So the parents knew he got released.
Uh-huh.
Then they were like saying, they probably like, well, come straight home. And now he went to the club and that's why he was scared to go back home. Because he knew he wasn't supposed to be out.
That makes
sense in my mind.
That makes more sense. Because I'm like, well, maybe they knew him, like they knew Joseph, and they were like, look, we understand, like we know who your parents are, like we're just gonna let it slide. That's where I was going. But your theory makes way more sense.
Why else would you be terrified to go home?
Yeah, like, and it's late as hell.
So they're asleep. So unless they're expecting you to come straight home All speculation from us, but makes sense.
Yeah, like, you know, you heard our disclaimer with Whitney. You know, this is our opinions.
Yeah.
It's what we think. So Megan's mom, Sarah Newton, found out this piece of information after Megan was murdered, and she was livid.
As she should be.
Absolutely. Her baby girl could have still been alive if the police would have done their job.
You had one job.
One job, and you failed.
Yep.
So she even took to Facebook and posted, why are Staffordshire police getting away with releasing him that night? Meg would still be alive.
And a valid question.
Yeah. And no one had answers to it.
I'd be digging.
Yep. So the Independent Office for Police Conduct looked into whether or not the case should be investigated, and they decided not to.
So this is like a department that investigate dirty cops.
Exactly. Oh. According to the United Kingdom's government page, the Independent Office for Police Conduct, the IOPC, exists to increase public confidence in the police complaint system in England and Wales. It also investigates serious complaints and allegations of misconduct against the police and handles appeals.
So what did they do? Call and be like, hey, Frank, why did you release him? Up? Oh, sounds good to me. I had nothing to investigate here.
I mean, it might be. I don't know the intensity.
Because that is, like, if you had done your job, she would be alive.
Yeah, and they still, like, I tried to look up their reasoning, and there's nowhere that states why they let him go.
Because they can't say that we know his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they can't say that.
Yeah. So the IOPC is essentially equivalent to the U.S. Department of Justice.
Okay.
They do, like, similar things. A spokesperson for the IOPC said that they had recently received a referral from the Staffordshire Police in 2019 pertaining to Megan's case, but they decided that an investigation by them was not required, and they sent it back to the Staffordshire Police Force. So I'm guessing, like, if you send it to the IOPC, they can investigate it, but I feel like Staffordshire could investigate it themselves.
Like internally.
Yeah, like internally. Yeah. But they were like, oh, maybe we need an outside party in this.
A non-biased party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's important to say that Joseph was not looking for Megan that night.
Mm-hmm.
He ran into her by chance and chance alone. Oh. So if he had been held by the police, she would absolutely still be alive today.
None of that would have happened.
Yep. She would have been that therapist. She would have been killing it.
Yeah.
Still hustling with her three jobs,
coaching being a football boss, team,
just doing boss things. So get this. Another thing that should be noted is that Joseph had been accused of sexually assaulting a student when he was 15.
So we have a track record.
We have a little something going on.
Okay.
Here. He was arrested for it, but the case was never prosecuted. And I couldn't find why. Again, not saying that all children of police officers get the slap on the wrist, but we're 0-2 right now.
Yeah, we definitely are.
It is pretty coincidental.
It's like, hey, Frank, handle this at home.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't feel like dealing with it. He's your kid. You know the procedures. Do something with this.
Exactly. It just seems too much of a...
It is coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially when Megan had proof of also a sexual assault, and you have a track record.
Yes.
Of sexual assault.
Exactly. That is my thoughts exactly. So this incident with him getting arrested when he was 15 led to Joseph becoming depressed. So much so that he attempted to commit suicide by jumping off a bridge in March of 2019. But he was talked down before he could do it. So look at these similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So you kill Megan,
You go to a bridge.
And you go to a bridge. You got accused of sexually assaulting this student. You become depressed and try and jump off a bridge.
Yeah. There's a lot of, what is it called, when you do the same thing? Habit.
Yes.
Like that. Well, it's not a habit, but it's
repetitive
behavior.
Like it's a routine, but not a routine. You know what I mean? So he was talked down before he can do it. So he obviously needed to talk to somebody about this trauma-related incident. And it's not noted anywhere if he did receive any type of therapy after his suicide attempt. I feel like we say this every single episode, but mental health matters.
Yep.
We cannot keep going through life and pushing our traumas aside and just believing that it's going to get better on its own and that, or that you'll simply forget about it.
That's not how it works.
It's not how it works. It builds and it builds and it builds until you like explode.
Absolutely.
Like, I am still working through past traumas with my therapist, and I am so thankful for everything she has done for me thus far, but the work is not done. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He definitely needed something, or, you know, this could have been, here's my opinion. So you had this suicide attempt, you were depressed, and instead of going to therapy, you reached out to drugs.
Yes.
It happens so much. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go see a therapist. That's for crazy people. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. But I feel horrible about myself, so I'm going to
find something to mask the pain.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Although there's no information if he did participate in any type of therapy, I would have assumed that he would have to.
It is a suicide attempt in the U.S. If it's reported, you have to do like a minimum of 24 hours under observation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if they're reported.
Yeah. So. And I feel like someone saw it so that he was brought in. So I feel like he should have gone to some type of therapy, but it wasn't enough for him. Because apparently when he got to Megan's flat that night, she confessed that she was sorry for telling people that he had sexually assaulted a girl. And that's what triggered him to kill her.
So she was the one that told people about this.
Well, I assume it was like, oh my God, did you hear about Joseph? And she was just like, oh yeah, he raped that girl.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it wasn't malicious.
She didn't intend to start a rumor, but like if it was already out there, then, and she engaged in conversation with it.
Yeah. I feel like she just apologized for her part in like participating in talking
like,
about
hey,
it.
That was wrong of me. I should have done that.
And again, she is owning up to her mistake. She is apologizing directly to him for quote unquote spreading rumors, but I really don't see it that way, that she was spreading rumors. Again, another act of kindness. It takes a very big person to not only admit their mistakes, but admit it to the actual person.
Exactly.
And if anything, Joseph could have easily said, look, I don't accept your apology. This is making me uncomfortable. I'm going to go. Or he could have accepted her apology and respected her for admitting.
And been like, thanks.
Yeah, like, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. But he did neither of those things. And he viciously murdered her.
Because he saw red.
Yeah.
How dare you bring this up and accuse me again.
And
he's high.
Yes. And that's my next thing. Like, I'm not trying to make an excuse for this, but he was intoxicated.
Yeah. On multiple substances.
Yeah. So this may have provoked him even more because he had no, like...
Yeah. Self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So needless to say, Megan's family and her friends were and still are very devastated by this tragedy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you with some words from her family. So Megan's grandmother, Beryl Smith, which she just sounds like Beryl.
That's a boss name.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
Shout out to Beryl.
Like, what?
Yeah, I like that name.
Adding that to the list of kid names.
And Beryl, let's go.
Yep.
So she spoke on behalf of the family in court and she said, Megan's death has wiped out the spark in our lives. We're heartbroken and always will remain so. She also said that Megan's mom, Sarah, felt she had a best friend in her daughter and she had lost the promise of her life and future grandchildren.
Oh my gosh.
So sad. And then Megan's father, Michael Bagley, I hope I said that right. I'm sorry, Michael, if I said your name wrong. He said, the thought of never seeing her beautiful smile or hearing her voice again breaks my heart. How could this happen to such an amazing, caring, kind, loving, funny young lady? This is something I will never understand and get over.
And he shouldn't get over it because it didn't have to happen.
No. And that's what sucks, is this did not have to happen.
Like, first of all, you were charged at 15 with a crime that requires immediate mental evaluation.
Yes.
And counseling. And one, you should have had repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of, you know, even if you don't want to use the word probation, some type of check-in, counselor, sex therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
If you really have an issue
with
sexual urges that are going to require you to do something violent, go to sex therapy.
Yes. I feel like people hear therapy and are like, oh.
You're right. They do.
I'm like, come on now.
I mean, it's okay. This, and then, you know, as a parent or as a concerned friend or as a, you know, an acquaintance, if you saw the drug abuse, see something, say something.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if his friends did see this and were just like, ew, Joseph Wallen.
He out here doing ketamine.
Yeah. And then, so he got arrested right before he like went out. So I'm just like, one, you left the police station and were like, all right, turn up.
I got away with it. Let's go.
What?
Or they took my drugs. I need more.
Mm.
You confiscated my crap.
Because I'm wondering, I don't know if he took any more drugs because he was on ketamine, cocaine, and he was drunk when he had murdered Megan. So I'm wondering if they were still in his system from before or if he re-upped.
You would have to re-up on, because cocaine was like 30 minutes.
Which I don't know.
That's what I think it is.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That sounds like a good number.
But I think that I really do. I mean, movies say it's 30 minutes. I feel like they're doing another line every 30 minutes.
Mm.
Because it's like a quick up. And then it's
to stay. Some of the movies, they be looking and they just blast off.
Yeah. Cleaning the house.
Doing the things. But the fact that she literally just said, like, I am so sorry that I contributed to people talking about what you did. And he was just like, you're done.
Yeah. And I mean, Sarah and Bradley raised such a good person and they should never fault them. This was by no means Sarah and Bradley's fault. The parents.
Bagley. That was his last name. His name is Michael.
Oh, Michael. Mm-hmm. Michael. Sarah Michael. And Michael.
Yeah.
They raised a very kind daughter.
Yes.
That didn't deserve this. And it was not her fault. It was not Megan's fault.
Not at all.
This is Joseph's fault. And
absolutely. Because of his unresolved traumas.
Yes. Yeah.
Period.
So, I mean, we say it every week. I know y'all are probably thinking, like, can y'all find another thing that could fix these kids? Well, why?
A lot of their crimes stem from unresolved traumas.
Yeah.
Mental health is important. Go talk to somebody and not your friends. Go find a professional.
Your friends are biased.
Yeah. They're always going to want your best interest.
Right. Yep.
Like, and they'll tell you what you want
to
hear.
That's what I was about to say. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. And, you know, see something, say something. And I'm sure that the friend that was in the taxi or the friends that were with Megan feel guilty and you couldn't have done anything different.
Yeah.
But, you know, see something, like I said, I'm going to say it again. See something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
He is abusing drugs and not just like weed. He is abusing like horse tranquilizer.
Yeah,
really?
That's next level stuff.
I mean,
we shouldn't be doing that. So kids, don't do ketamine.
No.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
DARE program.
Yes.
I think they took that out, didn't they?
I don't know. I haven't seen it around.
I haven't either.
Hashtag bring back the DARE program.
Yeah. It needs it.
Obviously, these children need it.
Yep.
And therapy.
They do need therapy. Counseling.
Mm-hmm. Something.
I don't know. It's just this, the whole thing could have been prevented, and that's what's eating me up.
Because it was so random. Like, he just saw her out, and they were like, just a regular Kiki, hey, how you doing? And then she was really just...
Do you think, do you think that one comment from her is what just... He triggered him?
It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that, and I don't even want to say it makes sense. It's the only thing that I could find.
It's his only motive.
Yeah.
Because what other motive did you have?
She was being kind to you. She let you come to her house to sober up. She let you use her phone charger so you could juice up your phone. She listened to you, like, talk about how afraid you were of going home. Mm-hmm. Like, and she did all of these positive things. And what did you do in return? Right. You took her away. She was going to be the first person in her family to go to university. I think she was, if I'm remembering correctly in one of my sources, she was going to be the first person in her family to go to university. And she was trying to come to the States.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We would have loved to have her.
Yes.
That's, I hate that.
Yeah.
And I hate that, like, now that he is found guilty, he doesn't owe anyone a real explanation. Yeah. And doesn't have to disclose anything.
I mean, that's the only thing what I could find. That's the only thing that he had said was just, like, she said this and I was triggered. But at the same time, like...
Or were you triggered before you even got there and, like, it just built up? And that... Then again, that made him snap.
Because I don't think her friends would have let her get in this taxi with him
if he was displaying.
Yeah, if he seemed like a little sus.
Right.
So I don't think he was acting that way. But, like, in the drop of a hat, you were in her place for 90 minutes. So at what point during that time did you snap? And how much of that duration did you spend violating her and murdering her?
Exactly.
Mm. It's just, it's such a shame.
Oh, it is. It really is.
And that's the murder of Megan Newton.
Wow. Episode 7.
Numero siete. Done.
Yeah. And y'all are getting antsy.
Yeah, we can see. That was kind of difficult to digest.
Especially when there's no reason for things. Yeah. And there's never a reason.
There's never a reason. You can always choose to be a better person.
You can.
And Joseph did not.
Be kind.
Be kind.
Kindness is free.
As in the words of Skylar and Arya, be safe, be kind, be helpful.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
Just kidding, y'all.
You can get out of here.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.